I'm just going to take the time here and just tell you how God saved my soul when I was a young boy. And I always like to preface this, and because sometimes when you hear of salvation of a young individual, you like going to a gospel meeting, you like hearing an amazing story, you like hearing those miracle stories of a man that was pulled out of a life of drugs and decades of just horrible sin, and God reached and saved his soul, and those are amazing stories. But it's still a miracle of God's grace that an 11-year-old boy trusted Christ as his own personal Savior. Whether it happens at 11, and I know Clive and I have talked about, that's the best, 6 or 7 maybe, is the best time to be saved. It's right now. Really, right now is the best time to be saved. So if you're not saved here today, now is the time to be saved. So I was raised hearing this exact message. I was raised hearing these exact verses read, that all of us were like sheep. We've gone astray. We've done our own thing. We've gone our own way. I've heard that when I was from the youngest of ages, that I was a sinner and that I'd fallen short of God's glory. And those are true. Those are truths that I heard, and I'm so thankful that even from a young boy, even being able to hear, to listen, to understand that I knew these truths, that I was a sinner. But I grew up listening to the gospel preached, and where I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and there was only about 700 people in that town, so a really small town, and there was a gospel hall there, and my parents faithfully, not of my consent, brought me to every gospel meeting. And I'm thankful for that, Al. Like, at the time, when you're maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, and I was thinking, you know, like, this is the last thing I want to do. And I know sometimes, I don't know how many of you have ever sat in like a very lengthy series of gospel meetings where it's 6 nights a week and you go for 6 weeks. That's the way we did it in Iowa. I don't know if they do that here in Australia, but You'd sit under the sound of the gospel 6 nights a week for sometimes weeks on ends. And as a little boy, I thought that sometimes it was such an inconvenience, even at that. But I had nothing better to do. I was a young Iowa boy that probably was going to waste my time doing something else. But I went to a gospel meeting all the time. And I heard these things, and I knew them. I understood them. That these were true. Like, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that when God says that all have sinned, that included me. But even from a young age of 11 or 10 or 8, even from that young age, there's this thing that us humans have an issue with, and it's called pride. And even from the youngest age, I could think of times where I would go to school and I could think, my classmate is worse than I am. He's a worse sinner than I am. He needs salvation. He needs to be saved. But yet I never, at that time, I pride, what it does to you is it lifts yourself up. It makes you better than you really are. And that's what pride, even from a young boy, did in my life. And I knew I was a sinner. Yeah, well, that's true. But not that bad of a sinner. I'm not as bad as my classmate over there. And that's the way I thought. That's the way I thought. You know what the Bible says that is? That's like a sheep going its own way. And I'm not super familiar with sheep. I know they're more common down here than up in the northern hemisphere, but that's what a sheep does. It goes its own, it just wanders. There's the shepherd wanting to call it back, and it just wanders off and goes its own way, doesn't care, doesn't really listen, doesn't comprehend what the situation is in. And that's the way I was, even from a young age, a prideful little boy being raised under the sound of the gospel, that's what I was like. I was just wandering astray. I was doing my own thing. And I remember several times listening to gospel preachers preach about this and seeing people my age or just a little bit older getting saved. And like you'd see some of my friends' families, like his brother would get saved, and then he would get saved, and his younger sister would get saved. And I would always look at this, and it was in my tiny little brain, I always thought, that's the way it goes. It's the oldest brother gets saved, and then the next sister gets saved, and then the younger brother gets saved. It's just this, it's the cycle. It's that's how God works. He just saves the oldest, and then it works down the line. And I was raised in a family of seven kids, and I'm number five. So my sister will get saved, and my brother, and my other sister, and eventually it'll get down to me. I was like a sheep wandering my own way. I had my own concept, even from a young age, that this is the way God works. God does it this way. That was the pride of a little boy's heart. This is my way. It was my way. I knew the truth, but when it came down to it, it was Dan's way. So, and maybe there's somebody sitting in this room and you think, oh, that's... When God says that you're a sinner and you wander away and you fall short of His glory, it's exactly what He means. God's word does not mince. It doesn't. It's exactly how it says it is. That when it comes to salvation, there's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one life, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through Him that we have salvation. So I knew these things, and maybe you know these things. You know all these truths, but yet maybe you're unsaved. Or that's how I was. I was unsaved. I didn't take it for myself. So let's also let's read John chapter 19 as well. John chapter 19, and we'll just read verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30, and it says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the spirit. Let's also turn over to Romans. Get back over to Romans. For one last verse, this will probably be our last verse we'll read. Romans chapter 5, and we'll just read verse 8. And I think it's right behind me. It's Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to read it again. That is honestly, truthfully, one of my favorite verses. Is God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some of these things I knew, like I said, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I didn't meet up to God's standard, but still I hadn't, when it came down to it, I hadn't made it personal. And that's what salvation comes to. God is a very personal God. He wants a relationship with you. And how does He do that? He has so greatly demonstrated that by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for sin, for your sin. It's not your way. It's not some way. It's God's way. And it is the most beautiful, wonderful story ever told. That God would send His own Son, a perfect man, did not sin, no sin found in Him, didn't even have any words that He spoke out of line, perfect in every way. And God sent that perfect man to a cross. And at the cross, He demonstrated His love towards us. And that while we were still, it's an amazing thing. God demonstrates it while we're still sinners, while we're actively still sinning. Right now. And God demonstrated it. He died for us. Christ died for us. It's an amazing truth. So as I knew these truths in my head, it didn't make them personal. I didn't make them mine. I didn't accept God's way. So like I said, I grew up knowing these things, and I grew up seeing all these individuals my age or and a little older getting saved, and it was almost like God was saving the oldest, and he was saving us all. In Dan's simple 11-year-old mind, that's how it's going to work. This is God's way. God's just going to save me when the time comes. But I'm so thankful for a certain night where, and maybe there's somebody in this room, and maybe you're struggling, or maybe you don't understand, or maybe, whatever it is in your life, God is able to reach you right now, right? And even in the state of, I remember the night I was saved, God just revealed it to me. He showed me personally what he did for me by Christ dying on the cross for me. I said, I didn't have to go through decades of struggling. I didn't have to go through messing my life up and hitting rock bottom. Sometimes maybe it's been said that you have to hit rock bottom. I thank God that I didn't hit rock bottom. I don't know what rock bottom would have been for me. But at the right time, that night in my bed in a tiny little town of Iowa in the United States, I was laying in my bed. It was a Thursday night. There was no series of gospel. It wasn't anything extra special. It wasn't this amazing gospel message I just heard. But God just showed me personally that Christ died for me. And that's the way. There's no other way. Just accept it, Dan. Just believe it. And that's exactly what happened on January 20th, 1999. In a small little bedroom, in a very cold night, in Iowa, United States. I knew that I was a sinner. Didn't think I was the worst sinner. But that night, God showed me, it doesn't matter if you're the worst sinner, the best sinner. You're a sinner. You've fallen short of God's glory. But God has demonstrated his love towards Dan Baker. And that while I was still a sinner, right there in that bed, that dark night, dark cold night, still a sinner, Christ died for me. I could look back and I could see that when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," God doesn't lie. The Bible tells God himself does not, he's incapable of lying. And when he said, when Jesus, his son, said on the cross that it is finished, that is what I had to accept. And that's what I had to take personal for my sin. That when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. It was paid in full. The debt of my sin is done.
Amen.
He took it all. And that night, I just simply trusted. I simply believed. I rested. Have you ever just taken a seat? You don't look at that seat and think, "Hey, I'm gonna go possibly sit down on it, but I better get an engineering degree and understand that, okay, are the screws, is the material, is that wood solid wood enough that it's gonna sustain me? It's gonna hold me when I sit down." That's sometimes the process of our thinking is, maybe you're not like that, but you would never question that, is that bench gonna hold me? That's what I was doing with God's salvation. Is God's salvation, is it this way? Is it that? Is it good enough? Is it really done? Was it, did he bear all my sin? No, when you go and sit down on that bench, when you came in here about 25 minutes ago and you sat down on your bench, I bet you didn't even consider it. You just sat down. That's what God wants you to do with his son. Amen. Just trust him. Rest. Just go to him. Rest. It's simple. It's easy. The work is finished. And it's the most amazing thing that we as humans can hear. that the work is completely finished for our salvation. Christ has done all of it. There is not the tiniest little speck that God left unfinished. When he punished the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, and he died, and he rose again, and the resurrection has proved to us today that it is done. God's satisfied with the work of his Son, and we can trust him. We can know personally. We can have a personal relationship with the very God of heaven, with his Son, Jesus Christ, because of a finished work. So maybe this morning, this afternoon, sorry, still kind of messed up on the time, but this afternoon, if you're not saved, that's the wonderful thing about coming here. I know very few people here. But the gospel message is, it's the same here in Australia as it is in America. It's truth. And tonight, you can just accept it, trust him. He demonstrated his love for you, and that while you were still, right now, a sinner, Christ died for you.
Amen.
And salvation, it's just simply trust me. Sit down on that chair. Sit down in the fullness of salvation. Rest in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. What does the Bible say we have? We have forgiveness of sins. We've been redeemed. We have eternal life, everlasting life. We know God as a friend. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as a friend and as a Savior. We're heirs with Christ. All the wonderful things that God has for us is simply faith in him. And he richly, abundantly, overwhelmingly gives you all of it. By simple faith in Jesus Christ. And I just pray that maybe some listening today just accept that if you haven't. And if you have, keep resting in it. It's a wonderful thing to know sins are forever forgiven. He will never remember them no more. Christ has finished the work, and we can just rest in him. So.